Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:03 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 6th. And we're beginning to see at least some risk being taken off the table. Personally, I did the same. I sold my long in the Nikkei to close out that position. That's despite the fact that I remain really quite bullish on Japan over the medium term, but I think that there is the risk of at least some pause and consolidation in stock markets over the next week or two, because we have a number of political events that are occurring, not least the UK election, and I'll discuss more of the implications for that in a moment. But then you also have the ECB's rate decision, which will probably be accompanied by some statement on what they're going to do about their quantitative easing program, whether that is going to continue to remain in place or what the size of the potential purchases are likely to be. Then we have a number of additional data points coming out with regard to the Trump administration and what is Comey going to testify in front of Congress. So there is plenty to think about, and unfortunately none of these things are particularly market related. That, you know, we have certainly seen the encroachment of the political and the geopolitical onto the market landscape over the last year, and unfortunately that is just the reality that we are presented with now, that we simply cannot ignore what's happening on the political front. It used to be that we could simply look at monetary flows, but that's just no longer the case. That with the rise of populism, there is the increasing potential for political decisions to have really quite profound impacts on the fortunes of companies. So we simply have to continue to comment and to really look at what this developing trajectory is. I think the most important thing that we're seeing today is that we've been in a risk-on environment, and the kind of environment that we've been treated to since really the election result in early November has been a return to this. Either it's almost like a polarization of investor behavior. It's either risk on or risk off, and we're beginning to see that the first signs that the risk off type assets are beginning to catch a bid. They're beginning to rally in here. So it is really worth looking at some of those charts. The yen, for example, was stronger today by a full yen against the dollar. But it is now trading below 110. In fact, it is about 109.5. That is below the trend mean, and it is not that far away from the yen's most recent peak about a month ago. So it really does require another upper dynamic to confirm that supply of the yen is going to return to dominance, and in the absence of that we'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to some additional strength, and that's likely to weigh on the Japanese stock market, which is why I decided that discretion was the better part of valor. The long bond is trading above 155. It didn't quite hold all of the gain today, but it's looking really quite firm. It has completely unwound the pullback that we saw yesterday, and this does coincide with the region of the trend mean, and this is really the key level, whether we're going to see it rally additionally from here and break what has been rather a difficult market in terms of the long bond for much of the last 12 months. So this is a key level, but it is strengthening. And gold had a pretty good day today as well. It continues to firm from the $1,250 area, and with today's move it is closing in on 1300, and it is testing that high that we saw from last April. If it remains a generally rangy uptrend, we can anticipate that it will move to a new high, and if this volatility persists, then the point to watch would be the progression of higher reaction lows. I did demur from buying additional, buying more platinum when it was down at $900, but it has now recouped almost all of the decline that it had in the latter stages of April. And while it was not able to hold on to all of the gain, it continues to demonstrate that there is support in the region of 900, that this has the characteristics of support building, and that the most important thing that it has done has been that really quite impressive rally in early 2016. In that regard, it is quite similar to the gold price, that we've had the massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend, and this constitutes right-hand extension, and we're pretty much in the region now of the trend mean and pretty close to the lower side of that range. So if platinum can sustain a move above 1000, well then that would certainly embolden the bulls. In the meantime, palladium continues to represent the clear leader in the precious metals sector and has pushed on to new recovery highs again. It was up another $6 and change in here today. This has also been a rangy uptrend, and it hasn't done particularly well at sustaining breaks to new highs, but it has certainly been the clear out performer, and that progression of higher reaction lows is really quite impressive, and not least because it continues to find support in the region of the trend mean. And if we look at the VIX index, there is continued stories about this trader who's been dubbed 50 cent buying 50 cent price, or VIX options priced at 50 cents, and usually looking at about 6 week maturities, so you're not getting a great deal, you're not getting a great deal of value in terms of the time, but they're probably using it as a way of hedging. That volatility represents one of the primary ways that you would size a position in an algorithmic trading system or in a quantitative strategy. And if you wanted to hedge the exposure of the portfolio to volatility, well then you'd buy VIX futures, or you'd buy VIX, you'd buy options on the VIX, which is what people do appear to be doing. You can probably count on your hands the number of times that the VIX has traded below 10 since its inception, and almost half of them have been within the last 6 weeks. This is really quite a depressed level in terms of volatility, and it is unlikely to persist indefinitely. So volatility is very low, and it isn't going to stay that way forever. If we look at the medium-term trend for volatility, then it has been trending lower for much of the last 2 years, and there is a clear progression of lower rally highs, that every time the VIX has rallied, it has not rallied as much as the previous occasion, and that was exactly the same case just a couple of weeks ago. But this compression of trading is something that I think it tends to lure us into a false sense of security. We tend to think that it is going to always be the case, but we are at very depressed levels in terms of this index. So there is the potential that it has gone too far, and that we could have an uptick in volatility at some point over the summer. So it is something that we really should be aware of. The S&P 500 has been really quite firm. It was in mildly negative territory in here today. It has broken above this 2400 level, and as long as it is sustaining that breakout, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. I think it is worth highlighting that in the course of what has been a very consistent advance since the beginning of 2016, breakouts have been sustained. That clear breakouts from well-defined trading ranges have always been sustained, and as long as that remains the case, well then that is a hallmark of a consistent trend. So as long as it is trading above 2400, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside in the short term, and really a break below the trend mean, which is currently close to 2300, would be required to even begin to question the medium term consistency of the trend. The Nasdaq has been far and away the leading index, and as it approaches this 6,000 level, it is quite overextended relative to the trend mean, and there is the potential for another little piece of another consolidation following what has been a very, very strong advance so far. What we can also say about the market is that what's strong is strong and what's weak is weak. So O'Reilly Automotive is now completing a Type 3 top formation and is testing its lows in here today, whereas Tesla had been extending the breakout from this well-defined 3-year trading range and was actually in positive territory today. So that I think gives I think really helps to highlight the dichotomy that we have within this market, that there is this very clear polarization between the things that are doing phenomenally well. But nonetheless, even a share like Tesla, which is, I think, noteworthy for the type of volatility that it is prone to, is looking a little bit overbought in the short term. So we have to be at least partially aware of the potential for some consolidation of what have been really very impressive gains recently. Oil prices have been trading around the $50 area, and they have been pulling back for the last couple of weeks. If we were to decide whether oil falls into the risk on or risk off category, generally speaking, it falls into the risk off category, and that people might regard it as a hedge, and not least because it is a bit oversold in the short term. We continue to see that. Just looking at it over the last year, this has been an incredibly choppy environment. It has been really quite difficult to make money, and that we are getting quite sharp moves. And I think what does that tell us in terms of supply and demand is quite simple, that supply and demand are back in a relative equilibrium, that this is a difficult environment. And that is despite the fact that OPEC have shaved 2 million barrels of production off of global supply. They have so far failed to initiate a substantial rally. When we think about the geopolitical implications of that, it is obviously having a quite, I think, difficult effect on the budgets of some of these energy exporters. They have got really quite bloated social commitments in terms of their budgets, and they are obviously feeling some pain here. Saudi Arabia can probably afford that, but it is contributing to Venezuela being in really dire straits. And then, of course, there is the regional competition between Saudi Arabia and Iran, and they are fighting a number of proxy wars right now. And I think one of the bigger questions, quite apart from everything that's going on in North Korea and what the carrier build-up in the Western Pacific really portends for North Korea, I think it's a very large question as to what Saudi Arabia and Iran are likely to do to each other, because Iran doesn't have the same bloated social infrastructure that Saudi Arabia does. It's had to survive under really quite tight sanctions for quite a long time already. But its financial position will be improving all the time as it continues to export greater volumes. That's a potential threat to Saudi Arabia. It probably has the financial resources today, but it may not have those same financial resources if oil prices fail to recover in future. And the question I would ask is whether that then represents a timing, a prerogative for Saudi Arabia to act in order to try and destabilize Iran or to retard its ability to expand regionally. These are very large questions. I think that that represents a potential black swan in terms of the geopolitical impact that that could have on markets. So, because it is a deteriorating trend, and that is certainly the case, and I don't think that there's any evidence that the trend of deterioration that we see in geopolitics in the Middle East is about to stop. So then what happens? And what is the potential outcome if things actually do get worse? I think that that is a potential catalyst. At the same time, I think I should be very clear and reiterate there's no indication just yet that there is any evidence that that is actually happening, that there is the potential for a Saudi Arabia and Iran to enter open conflict. I don't see any evidence of it just yet, but rather I'm watching for it. I think that that is something that we do need to be aware of. When we look at the UK election, I think that there are really two charts in terms of stock markets that are really worth keeping an eye on. The first is the pound, and against the dollar, it has been really quite inert over the last 6 weeks. That's also been because the pound has been, or the dollar has been quite weak. We would probably have to look at the pound against the euro, and it is back at an area of potential support. But when we look at other markets, the AIM 100 index has been doing spectacularly well so far this year, and it has been rallying persistently since early November. But it posted its largest pullback in at least a year in here today, and as it pulls back from this 5,000 level, it is quite overextended relative to the trend mean. So there is the potential that we get some pause and consolidation following what has been an almost monochromatic advance. It's just 1 week after the other where prices advanced. And the other instrument that I think is worth looking at is that when we think about the UK, we often look at it in terms of the nominal price and also look at the currency. But I think it is also worth looking at it in terms of how do foreign investors look at the UK. And the stock market, if you look at the iShares UK ETF, it trended lower between 2014 and early 2017, and then it rallied to break that medium-term progression of lower rally highs. So that suggests that international investors are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the UK. There are three potential outcomes from the upcoming election. One is that the Conservatives either hold their narrow majority or improve upon it. That would ensure that Brexit goes ahead. We could have a hung parliament, and that would probably also result in Brexit going ahead, but the negotiating power of the government would be decreased. And then there is the potential that Labour and forms a coalition with the Scottish Nationalist Party and pulls off an unexpected victory. I don't see that as the most likely or even a likely scenario, but if that were indeed the case, it would probably be bad news for the stock market, but it might be potentially good news for the pound. The pound collapsed when Brexit was announced, and that would suggest that if Brexit was cancelled, that would probably be positive for the pound, but probably not great for the stock markets. The stocks have benefited enormously from the depreciation of the currency and the uptick in inflation. They've just simply priced in that inflation rate, and if that were taken away, then that would represent a challenge for stock markets. So I think that there is certainly the potential for an uptick in volatility towards the end of this week, and that I think that that is perhaps the most important point right now. And I wish all the best to all of you.